Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at OffbeatOregon.com, and this is the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy this show. This is the story of the man from Oregon who started the California Gold Rush, although he didn't benefit very much from it. Driven from Oregon's Willamette Valley by the spring rains, old James Marshall probably would have been happier if he'd stuck it out. He left just before the sun came out, actually. This story was first published on May 26th of 2009. Here we go. The beginning of the California Gold Rush is a pretty well-known story. But what's not quite so well-known is that it was started by an Oregonian. His name was James Wilson Marshall. And of course, he wasn't originally an Oregonian. No one was in 1848. He was a carpenter from New Jersey who'd come out on the Oregon Trail to set up a farm in the Willamette Valley. Well, like all the emigrants, he traveled all summer and arrived just as the rains were getting started. Several months of uninterrupted precipitation later, Marshall had had enough. Quote, "Reckon I wasn't cut out for farming life," he said, and packed up and headed south. He ended up in Sacramento, where a wealthy landowner named John Sutter hired him to build a water-powered lumber mill. Sutter was building the lumber mill to make the lumber he'd need to make a flour mill nearby, which was where he expected to make his money, processing the wheat he was growing. But not long afterwards, Marshall was widening the tail race of the mill by opening the sluice gate at night to cause torrents of water to erode the channel. For safety reasons, he couldn't do this during the day, but he'd come back and check progress when the sun came up. Well, one morning when Marshall was doing this, he saw something glittering underwater. An hour or two later, Marshall showed up unexpectedly at Sutter's house. Soaked through in a downpour, rain seemed to be a continuing part of Marshall's life out west, and asked to speak to Sutter privately. He showed him several ounces of very nice gold nuggets that he had pulled from the tail race. Surprisingly, Sutter's first thought seems to have been for his mills. He begged everyone to keep the discovery secret for just 6 weeks, just to give him time to finish the lumber mill and flour mill. He was a developer, not a miner. So he toiled away, racing against time to save his $25,000 investment as $1 million worth of gold crunched beneath his feet. Of course, word got out. Of course the labor market dried up as every able-bodied worker grabbed a gold pan and hit the hills. Of course the mills languished and Sutter lost his investment. He tried hiring miners to look for the gold, but this didn't work out particularly well. One assumes they simply pocketed what they found. Then Sutter found himself plagued with aggressive squatters who hired lawyers to try to defeat his land claim, which was through the Mexican government. California was part of Mexico until the end of the war in 1848. The squatters also filched food from his fields and stole his cattle. Quote, "By this sudden discovery of the gold, all my great plans were destroyed. Had I succeeded for a few years before the gold was discovered, I should have been the richest citizen on the Pacific shore, but it had to be different. Instead of being rich, I am ruined," he wrote in 1857 in Hutchings, California magazine. Marshall actually fared even worse. The squatters forced him off his land, and he lacked the resources to fight them. Like Sutter, he became a miner only reluctantly and not very successfully. He tried a vineyard, but that didn't do well for him either, and in the end he wound up in a tiny cabin, eking out a living with a subsistence garden. Ironically, if he'd stayed in the Willamette Valley just one more month and experienced Oregon in the dry part of spring, he probably never would have left it. And his great-grandchildren might still be farming his land there today. Well, that's our show for today. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, a series of live history shows, a daily RSS feed to catch in your smartphone newsreader, a Facebook page, and a couple other minor components too, YouTube channel, that kind of thing. Photographs and other visual goodies that go with today's show are on offbeatoregon.com, where you will also find full citations to the sources for this story. The podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is an Atlas String Band track, atlasstringband.com, and it was written by Carmen Ficarra. I do Offbeat Oregon History for the fun of it, and to learn things. So I don't sell advertising and I don't ask for donations. But if you do enjoy Offbeat Oregon history and you'd like to support it, you can always pick up a copy of my book. If you enjoy the show, I can pretty much guarantee that you'll enjoy my book. It's called Wicked Portland. It's published by the History Press in 2012, and you can pick a copy up at a community bookstore near you, or you can order a signed copy from the store link at offbeatoregon.com. The book sells for $20. Finally, if you ever happen to be in Corvallis, drop me a line. We can grab a cup of coffee and talk about history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or you can tweet at me, @offbeatoregon. Our next show will be coming up at around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And until then, go and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.